morning. Hey, if you happen to have a Bible, open it up to John. We're going to be hanging out in John 12 this morning. And so just to get it really fresh in our minds, I'll read it. We're in John 12. So it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the later part of the Bible. And the event that we're looking at today, the heading in my Bible says the triumphal entry. Anybody got a different heading on the top of theirs? What's yours? I'm always curious how the... Yeah, Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. Any others? Okay, we got the entry into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Now, these headings are, they're not part of the Bible. You won't find them in the earliest text. They put them in kind of like so that we could know where to break it when we're reading in public. But the triumphal entry is what mine says in John 12:12. And this is the event. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, and so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written. And just, you know, when you're reading along, when it has that little indented in its quotes, this is that Bible O-N-E, the crimson thread that we've been talking about a bunch. This is telling you, hey, this is quoting something that already happened in the Old Testament. So, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, the king comes sitting on the donkey's colt." And his disciples did not understand these things at first. Underline that. Jesus' disciples, those that had been hanging out with him for 3 years, they didn't understand it at first. But when he was glorified, that means after he died and rose again, when he was glorified, they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. So if any of you today are going, whoa, I never put that Bible O anything together. I never saw how what happened today connected to what happened in the Old Testament. I never saw how this all connects. You are in good company. Jesus' own disciples didn't get it until after the resurrection. And then they went, oh, here's how it connects. Verse 17, the crowds that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. And the reason the crowd went to see him was that they had heard that he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." So today is Palm Sunday, and the word, as Megan so greatly said, is Hosanna. Everybody say Hosanna. Hosanna. In Greek, this is a Greek word because everyone spoke Greek at the time because that's what they spoke. The word is Hosanna. That's what it looks like in Greek there on the left. Omega, Sigma, Alpha, Nu, Alpha. Hosanna. And it means save us. Sermon done. Here's the question that I want to throw to you today. What do you want saved from? What do you want saved from? Or if you want it to not fit on the screen quite as well, but be a little bit more grammatically correct, what do you want to be saved from? See, we all want to be saved from something. This is not a uniquely religious thing. Anybody want to be saved from work on Monday? Come on now. Anybody want to be saved from April 15th? I'm sorry, May 15th. Is it May now? Is that where they... Yeah, anybody want some salvation from that? See, that's what it's talking about. It's going, we all want to be saved from something. Now, the big thing in John is as this is going on, the disciples didn't get it. That should cue us in on something. The disciples didn't see the crimson thread until later because, I'll give you a spoiler, the crowds did not want salvation from sin, death, and the power of the devil. See, what Jesus came to give salvation from was evil, was the enemy, was sin, was eternal torment in hell because of the activities that we've done actively. See, that's why Jesus went to the cross. And don't for a second think that they understood it. Scripture tells us they didn't. The crowds at that time, yes, they cried the word Hosanna, but we've got a little revisionist history going on here. Because even Scripture tells us that the crowds, that the disciples didn't quite get what was going on. I'm sorry, we sent all the kids out to junior worship, so I won't spoil your childhoods, but that first Palm Sunday, there weren't choreographed cute kids waving palms that they had ordered on Oriental Trading Company. See, the question is, what did they want to be saved from? Go ahead and show the slide. See, and some of you are looking at this, my graphic designer friends, and you're going, hold on, why did he leave the background there? So that's what we want to do. We want to clip and use clip art and make it look cute, but we layer things that aren't really here. Here's what they wanted to be saved from. When we look at Scripture, this becomes really, really, really clear. The next day, we're in verse 12 of John 12. The next day, the large crowds had come to the feast. Here's what's going on. In Jerusalem, every year, all of the Jewish people, the entire nation, anybody who was physically able would leave their town and go to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. Now, Israel at this time was ruled by Romans. And if you were going to have a whole group of people that you ruled gather and you were the king in charge, what would you do? You'd make sure you had a little bit of extra security. You wouldn't want these people trying to overthrow your rule in a land that they said was given to them by God. When you're the oppressive leader, you never view yourself as oppressive. You just want to keep order. And so what would happen is all the people would gather, the Romans would throw a parade. It was led, see, Pontius Pilate, the person in charge of that area, would stallion up. He would ride in on a white stallion. He would be followed by his soldiers, decorated in their armor from the wars that they had fought. They would be carrying banners that would show all the places that they had conquered. And Pilate would hang out in his palace, the one that he had in Jerusalem. And there would be a military presence in the town with the Romans saying, you're allowed to worship your God, but don't think for a second that we're not really in charge here. See, that was happening through one side of the city. On the other side of the city is where Jesus comes in. See, people had asked questions. They didn't like being under Roman rule. They asked Jesus questions like, Jesus, what should we do with this tax situation? They're overtaxing us. Should we pay Caesar any taxes? Or since we're children of a different kingdom, do we have to avoid taxes? And what was Jesus' answer? Yeah, give unto Caesar what is Caesar. And by the way, give unto God what is God's. That's another sermon for another day. See, what happened is the people didn't like this. And so they wanted to crown another king, a king who would overthrow this kingdom. One of the questions we got on Wednesday night during worship is, how can a crowd go from wanting to crown someone king on Sunday to wanting to crucify them on Thursday? My answer, politics. You know, we've evolved so much as people. Tongue firmly planted in cheek. Have you ever seen a president elected and then a few days later hated? No, that never happens. No, why? Because here's the whole deal. Whenever we want a new king, and this is a narrative arc in all of Scripture. We want a new king because we want the king to do what we want to do when we want to do it. And when they don't, then we hate that king. See, let me put it in a historical context. Would look a little bit more like this. Click. If Jerusalem was today. Right, you have your military police presence there to keep order. And you have people ready to destroy property and riot. See, that's what Palm Sunday looked like. Property damage was done. See, the palm thing, please don't miss this. We've sanitized this so that waving palm branches becomes this celebration. Why did they wave palm branches? This was destruction of property. This was going, oh, you roll over this land, I'm going to destroy this land, and I'm going to claim that there is a new king in town. And it's not you, Caesar. It's not you, Pilate. It's not you, Herod. Now, were some of them, their hearts in the right place, they wanted to see God's kingdom come? Sure. But we know that even on the night that when he was betrayed, his own disciple, Peter, pulls out a sword and attempts to chop a guy's head off, but misses and catches his ear. That's Malchus, if you want to go home and Google it. See, what would it look like to stop and say Hosanna to this? I want to warn us, I know there's people all over the place here, and some of you, you're really identifying with the save us. I want to be saved from this or that or this, but I want to warn us, especially those of you that are following Jesus, to stop and reflect, what do you want to be saved from? What are you longing to be saved from? I'm amazed how many people, they know what sin is. And they want to be saved from it as long as they can keep on doing it. I want to be saved from gossip and people talking bad about me. But I still want to be able to get together with my friends and, you know, spill the tea. Or, I'm sorry, we're Christians. I want to share my prayer request. See, I thought that one would get a laugh. Right, sometimes we do that. Sometimes it's like, I don't want to gossip, so I'll say I'm praying for you, but I don't have all the facts, but I'm trying to. Man, no, see, I want to be saved from this, but I still want to keep doing it. And here's the reality. See, so often we talk about salvation, and what we want is for Jesus to reach down and pluck us out. Or what we want even more often is for Jesus to reach in and push them out. We don't want Jesus, we want magic fairy dust where all our problems just go away. But the reality is, Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, doesn't pull us out. He doesn't push them out. But Jesus' narrative is Jesus enters in. That's how Jesus saves. Let me give you a couple pictures. This is how Jesus enters in. God God doesn't just stay in heaven. He's conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary in a gross, dung-filled barn and spends his life relating to people just like you and me. People who have triumphs, great days where everything's going well, and people who are just struggling. Struggling with the loss of a friend. Struggling with how to be good stewards with the resources that they've been given. See, Jesus enters into it at his birth. And Jesus doesn't, as we turn to Holy Week, Jesus doesn't save us by plucking us out of death. Jesus goes to a death on a cross and suffers it for us. See, it's a totally different narrative. Jesus saves, but salvation looks so different. See, I want salvation to look like this. Hosanna! Hosanna! Woo! But with a few folds, I see that salvation looks like this. That God, and by the way, if you want to do this, just Google palm cross. Four easy folds and you can do it. And stick this in your windshield. Stick it on that, not in your windshield, that would be dangerous. In the sun visor. Stick it someplace where you're going to see it, because so often I want salvation to look like this. And ultimately, when Jesus comes back and when we're in heaven with him forever, it will. But this is what salvation looks like. It looks like God entering into your pain, entering into your suffering, suffering with you, suffering for you, shedding his blood. And so when we say, God save us, remember what we're saying. Let's pray. God, thank you for not being a magic fairy dust God. Thank you for being a God who enters in, not always to what we want, but to what we need. Thank you for being a God who went to the cross for us. God, thank you for saving us from our sin, for saving us from death, for saving us from the power of the devil.
Lord Jesus, we praise you, we honor you, we glorify you.